Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? 2 days away from the NFL draft. Who will the Cardinals take at the number one spot? If they do not take Kyler Murray, how far do we slide? Did he get past the Raiders? Hell, did he get past the Giants? What do you think happened on the way to Utah getting swept by the Houston Rockets? Talk about that. I told a good friend of mine, Earl Burnett, you know him, Casual Sports Network, where you can also hear these shows and replay at 3 o'clock every day. He said, Blake Griffin, you know, he might make a difference. I told him, Blake Griffin, Kat Griffin, Daryl Griffin, doesn't matter what Griffin or Griffith you use. They were done. And the Bucks ended it for Detroit. Detroit in the second half didn't look like they even wanted to play anymore. People always get around saying 1-2-3 Cancun. They were 1-2-3 Cancun, Bahamas, Aruba, wherever. 1-2-3 get us the hell out of Detroit. And the Sun fire the coach. That's how we know it. End of the basketball season, right? End of the regular season. Sun's about to get a brand new coach. We'll get into all that as well right here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. We're brought to you, of course, by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, home of the 2019 Draft Watch Party first round this Thursday. Be in the house. Get on down there, hang with us. We'll be there for a while. Actually, we'll be doing a live show from there at 1 o'clock, and then we're going to just hang out. Have fun. Wait for the draft. So it should be a good time. Get on down there, 10% off of your cigar purchases. Let them know the PLR sent you, which will be easy. I'll be sitting right there. You can do that at any time. Again, let them know PLR sent you. 10% off your cigars. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, also now serving beer and wine. So come on down, check them out. Located at Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Let them know PLR sent you, get that 10% off. There are some restrictions. You can ask when you come in. So where to start? Let's start with the obvious. I'm going to save the Suns for last. Let's start with the draft. And who's going to go where, who's going to be where, who's going to play for who. So you heard Richard Simes yesterday on the show saying, he's not buying Kyler Murray's going to be here. He's not on board with that. He's not buying that. He's not having that whatsoever. He thinks they're taking Bosa. He thinks they're going to roll with Josh Rosen. And hey, he has his finger on the pulse. So you never know. You never know what's going to happen. I do know today, this is how you know we're getting closer to the draft. Things are starting to move. Kansas City Chiefs sent two picks. to Seattle for Frank Clark. And this is why people say, oh, players, they should just, it's $17 million. How do you turn your nose up at $17 million? You turn your nose up at $17 million when the Kansas City Chiefs have agreed to give Frank Clark, defensive end, excuse me, Frank Clark, $105 million with 63.5 guaranteed. Now, see, this is where the quarterback structure comes into play. And I apologize. Let me jump off of this real quick. The one, the only Chucky Brown, former NBA champ with the Houston Rockets, is scheduled to join us in about 4 minutes. So if I have to jump off the subject, you understand why. But they're not paying Patrick Mahomes. So they can afford. They can afford Frank Clark. See, this is why the whole NFL pay structure is so bad. And this is why I say there should be a separate pay scale for quarterbacks. And you're probably thinking, well, what the hell do you mean by that? What I mean is, say, and I'm just taking numbers, say right now the salary cap for your team, $150 million, right? Let's say that is the cap, $150. I think the cap should be lowered to $130. Or you don't lower the cap, but you say your quarterbacks are allowed to receive 20% of what the cap is without it affecting you. So basically, I could pay my quarterback then up to $30 million, or quarterbacks, anyone who's in that position, I could pay them up to $30 million. And I'm just taking numbers, so don't go, well, this is what you said, I could pay them $30 million. If that's the case, then if I go over that cap, then that part then comes off my $150. But what you're doing now is you inflated the play of the quarterback so much that you've now taken away from your team, and only people that can afford to play to pay players that don't play deep, that don't play the quarterback position, is if you get a quarterback that's in the second year that ends up being good, and you can pay, you don't have to pay them for another 3 years. It's kind of convoluted. I'll get into that more. But on the line right now, I have a main man, the one, the only, Chucky Brown, the champ himself. It is good to have him here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line on the Cave Show with PLR. Chucky B, what's happening?
What's up, man? How you been doing?
Man, everything is good. I appreciate you hopping on. You realize this is the sixth year in a row you came on to talk playoff basketball with us.
Oh, that's all right, man. So we got a good thing going. We need to stick with it there.
Yeah, you know, I look back and I was like, man, this is 6 years in a row. Playoff start. That's how, look, you know it's playoffs when Golden State's winning, you're on this show, and the Suns are firing the head coach.
right. Those are great indicators of playoffs.
That's it. That's what you know. Chuck, again, man, I appreciate you joining us. You're watching these playoffs. I know you're into it.
Right.
Is there a team, and I've been asking you this for the last 4 years now, is there a team that can beat Golden State four times in 2 weeks?
I think it's going to be tough, but I think that one of the Eastern teams can do it, Boston or Toronto. I think Boston or Toronto can do it. I think Boston has the perimeter people to deal with Golden State, and I think Toronto has the length to deal with them. You know, where Kevin Durant is the wild card against every other opponent, I think that Toronto has some length that can maybe not stop him, but, you know, maybe slow him down because mm-hmm. Kevin Durant really is the problem. You know, he's been the problem for the last couple of years when it comes time to the playoffs when you have to play against Golden State. In the Western Conference, I think the Rockets can, but things have to go right. The stars have to be aligned because Golden State has a lot of firepower, and I still don't see who on the Rockets is going to match up with Durant. I think they got matchups for Klay Thompson. They got matchups for Steph Curry. But Kevin Durant, again, is going to be the wild card when those two teams win. And if they meet, I'm not going to count Utah out yet, but when and if those two teams meet, I think Kevin Durant is still going to be the wild card.
You know, I look around, and it's funny because I'm actually happy that Houston's playing Golden State early, and so there isn't all this buildup. So hopefully it looks like both teams can get there healthy, knock on wood. But something tells me Golden State is actually more pumped to play Houston this year just because they want to say, look, y'all, we're tired of hearing this. Chris Paul wasn't healthy.
Yep.
But, you know, Andre Iguodala wasn't healthy for us either. So we want to play them now and get it done with.
Right.
And it seems like there's a different level of Golden State that I'm seeing with them. The way they attack the Clippers, I mean, the Clippers got one, and we all know that was a fluke because you don't come back from 31 down. That was we just stopped playing,
right.
We thought we had it, and we couldn't turn the switch
right.
back on. But it seems like they are really, from the words that they're saying, they want Houston healthy and now. Or am I the only one that's kind of reading that between what they're saying?
No, you're not the only one. I was thinking that same thing because, you know, they're probably tired of hearing that, okay, well, Chris Paul was out game seven. That's why, you know, Golden State beat them. They're probably tired of hearing that. And, you know, because Iguodala was hurt as well. You know, he's a key piece, too, for Golden State. So I think they want them, you know, nice and healthy. Now the Warriors got Boogie Cousins out. So now the Warriors, if they beat them, they're going to be like, hey, we beat y'all and Boogie was out. Y'all lucky Boogie wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think they're looking forward to the matchup as well. I think they actually want it more. And being that I think they lost the regular season like 3-1. I think they lost to them 3-1 during the regular season. So I think they're looking forward to proving that the regular season, though it may mean something as far as seeding goes, it doesn't mean nothing when we go up against you and you got to beat us four times in a row.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, the champ, Chucky Brown. Chucky, in the East, this is my hierarchy. I still have Boston. Then
yes.
I have Toronto. And then I have Milwaukee.
Yes.
And then I have Philadelphia. And the reason Milwaukee to me is three
yes.
for no other reason other than experience. And I went with Boston
yes.
first because of their experience of getting deep. Kawhi Leonard and Toronto, that's a whole different team. And then
right.
Philly to me just doesn't seem mature enough to beat either one of those three teams. What do you think of that hierarchy?
Right.
Am I off or do you think I'm on with that?
I think you're dead on with it because I look at Boston the same way because not only the experience but the talent level and how they did not have, you know, they did not have it going pretty much at all during the regular season. And this shows that, you know, that no matter what, like when people have one common goal at hand, we could put this thing together and make this thing move. So I think that's what Boston is doing now, even though I do think that Indiana was kind of, you know, the lower tier of the top eight. I think they were probably, you know, they were probably the eighth seed, but they had a great season. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think they got a good draw with Indiana at the five. I think they got a good draw with Indiana. You know, also with Oladipo being out, I think that's why Indiana was probably a great draw. But yeah, I got Boston definitely at one, and I got Toronto at two because of the Kawhi Leonard factor, because of the Marc Gasol factor. I also have them at two. And at three, I do have the Bucks as well because of their experience, you know. And for me, I got Philly at four because of what they had to do. You know, trade the one kid that I thought they should have kept was the Covington kid. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I think he helped with the outside shooting, but they had to give him up. And that's why I kind of – if Philly could have came back and just added one more piece and kept what they had, I think they would be up there in the top tier because two of those games against Boston last year, they gave away. They actually won one and gave two away. So they were right there able to beat. But it was right there for them to win that series. But in the playoffs, you make a few mistakes, that could hurt you, and that definitely hurt Philly. But I think you're right on with your ranking.
You know, with Philadelphia, too, I look at two things. And one, Joel Embiid's health, because when he's on the floor and he's healthy, he's unguardable, but he does not look right. He looks like he's laboring up and down the court. He doesn't look as fry as he used to. And some of the things that he's able to do in this series and get away with Jared Allen, he's not going to be able to do and get away with when they're playing against Toronto and Marc Gasol. Just not going to happen. Also,
no.
I think defensively, Toronto is going to expose the fact that Ben Simmons is about to go in his third year, and honestly, it doesn't even look like he's been in the gym working on his jump shot. How important for him this summer to work on that and at least make you think he'll take a jump shot?
Well, I mean, I just think it's just crazy that these guys have all of these people around them, and there's nobody there to rebound the ball for you to help you get your jumper right. I mean, I just think it's absolutely insane. I know, I remember, you know, when I was a player coming into the league, I couldn't really shoot it that well. But I came home and I had a guy that would come to the gym with me and just rebound for me. So I would take 1,000 jump shots a day. And that in turn got my jumper better to where people used to lay off me. I was able to knock it down. But it just amazes me that they got all these so-called trainers out here that work with these guys, which I think is ridiculous. I think all Ben Simmons needs to do is just – I mean, Ben Simmons could call me to help him with his jumper, really. And I don't even want no money. Just, all you got to do, fly me out and take care of my hotel. That's it. You don't have to pay me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I help him with his jumper. You know what I mean? That just ask a former guy. You know, you get a lot of these dudes that – They have all these YouTube workouts that look difficult, and the guy be like, oh, let me try that. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. It's a simple game. Basketball is not reinventing the wheel. But, you know, I definitely agree that his not being able to make a 17-foot shot is going to be exposed. And I think all he really needs to do is get in the gym with somebody who's going to not be a yes man, somebody who's going to say, all right, this is what you're doing wrong. Come on, let's knock this out. You know, let's take care of this and get in there and work with him. You know what I'm saying? You know, not unless he's just an uncoachable guy, and it doesn't seem like he's uncoachable. And, you know, he's still a very good player without a jump shot. You know what I'm saying? But he's going to need that jump shot to take himself to the next level, and hopefully he understands that.
You know, I was watching Giannis shoot threes a couple times in games, and I said whether he makes it or misses it, if he just makes one, that's going to make someone come out. And if you have to just step out on him just a little bit, he is now the most unguardable person short of Kevin Durant in the NBA, because if he's hitting a three, what can you do at that point?
Right. With him. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you finished. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna, no. With him, you were saying with him?
With Giannis, I was going to say, you know, the one thing about him is I hope that he doesn't get 3-point happy like a lot of the league is, because when he hits a couple, you know, as a defender, you know, I sit and watch the games and try to say, okay, how would I guard this guy? If I'm playing against Giannis, you know, I try to contest the shot, but I that's where I want him to live at the 3-point line. If he's coming to the basket, you're done. So I would have to live with him taking that 3-point shot and give him a lot of space. And more so, I guess I would say, you know, hey, if you make 10 of them, then I'm supposed to lose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how I would play him. But, you know, if he's hitting them, you know, I mean, he's a problem. But the good thing about him is that at least you see that he has worked on it. You know, you see that. You know, I don't know if Vin Baker's working with him or not, but that'd be a good guy to work with Giannis. You know, Vin Baker's an Olympian, all-star, you know what I'm saying? He was a top player in the NBA for a long time. So, I think the Bucks have a great guy, and I'm going to give the credit to Vin. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's him or not, but I'm going to give the credit to him. But I think Vin has done a great job with him, if that's Vin working with him.
On the Carrie Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, the champ, Chucky Brown, here with us with PLR here on the Cave Show. So I got to tell you this story then real quick, because my son plays in a competitive league. He's nine. Just turned nine in December. And he has this competitive gene in him. And I don't know, it's like me times two. So he doesn't want to lose at anything ever. And
right.
I started seeing it last year in flag football when he said, when he walked by me, I was sitting on the sideline, he goes, "Dad, they need to get me more touches because they're not using me right now."
Right, right.
And this is just before he turned nine, he said that to me. My wife looked at me and she was just like, "Wow." It's like, that is your son. So he shot poorly from the free throw line. And just to give you a real quick, the most free throws anyone on my team has shot was eight. He's the highest at over 20 free throws. So he believes in getting to the rim and taking the contact.
Right.
But he shot poorly from the free throw line last Saturday. As soon as the game was done, I said, "You know, you probably should shoot more free throws in practice." He's like, "Why don't we just go to Lifetime now, Dad, and I'll get some up now."
Okay.
So and I sit here and I think sometimes, here's a nine-year-old who actually heard me say this one time, "If you want to be good, son, chase greatness." And as he's shooting these free throws at Lifetime with his little brother rebounding, he said, "Dad, I'm chasing greatness. I'm not leaving until I get to 70% out of 10. So sometimes it cracks me up when I see these other guys that are pros. It's like, you know, they got work ethic because they wouldn't be in the NBA without work ethic. But are you doing that next step to get to that next level, or are you satisfied with where you are? And sometimes when I look at certain guys, it's like, are you satisfied knowing that you're a freak of nature athlete and that's gonna carry you, but are you ready to really take that next step?
Right. Yeah, I think that you can look at guys out there on the floor and tell the guys, you know, that are satisfied where they are, and you could tell, I mean, like a guy like Giannis, you know, I think he's chasing greatness. You know, you could tell, like, when I watched the All-Star game, everybody else out there was BSing for 3.5 quarters. There was no BS at no point with Giannis after the Temple.
Yeah.
There was no BS at no point during that All-Star game. He was out there trying to get his and trying to win, you know. So I think that you can tell the guys like a Kevin Durant, I think they chase greatness, you know what I'm saying? So if Ben Simmons wants to be in the category with the Magic Johnsons, with the Michael Jordans, with the Kobe Bryants, with the Tim Duncans, with the Kareem Abdul-Jabbars, you know, that's on him, you know.
Yeah.
You're good now. You're good. You're good, but do you want to be great? And I remember it was a speech by – not a speech, but a press after a game, Gino what's the guy from Connecticut? He was saying –
Ariyama?
I can't pronounce his name, but there you go. But thanks for helping me out. But he said something one time, and I sent it to my kids, and it said that, you know, if you want to be average, you do average work. You want to be great, you do great work. You know,
yeah.
And that was it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the truth, man. No matter what you do, you know, if you want to be average, you do average work. You know what I'm saying? If you want to be really, really good at something, then it's hard. You know, you got to do great work.
Yep, you can't give up. Two more quick ones. Is Kobe Bryant the last of the old school great players? And I'm not taking anything away from, like, the Stephs and the LeBrons and the Russes and those guys, because I actually asked a few players in the NBA once, and they told me Steph Curry is the easiest superstar to play with, and any guy would be out of their mind not to want to play with him. But in terms of that mentality, was Kobe the last one that would – because we're talking about improving their game. Kobe's jump shot wasn't that great, but then it got deadly. His three-point shooting was soft, but then it got great. He could finish with either hand. He could – he took that defensive challenge, which you don't see a lot of guys do now. Was he the last one?
Of the great players? I'll have to agree with that. Because I played against Kobe. I remember when he first came in the league. You know, he was just like athletic kid, like a super athletic kid. I think it was about 97, 98 maybe he came in. I don't remember. Maybe 96, something like that. But God damn, he came in the league, super athletic kid. But then you could tell, like, there was something different about him. You could just tell. You could tell, like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, yeah, the kid's athletic, but you could tell like, it's something different about him, you know. And, like, because when he became great, it was no surprise. But I think he is the last of the guys with that type of mentality. I mean, for me, I worked with the Lakers for probably about 4 years. And, you know, I always tell kids when I do speaking engagements and stuff to kids, and I was telling the story about how we always, when I was coaching, we always had practice at 8 o'clock, so I would get to the office at 8 a.m., and I would get to the office probably about 7:15. So
right.
I would come in about 7:15, and I'd hear the ball bouncing in the gym, and I'm walking through, I'm like, who's in here already? You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking I'm the first guy there.
Yeah.
And I walk and stick my head in the gym, and it's Kobe there working on something, like footwork, working on his shot. And he's in there, you know, sweating pretty good, lathered up. I call it lathered up. He's in there lathered
yeah.
up real good. And you know that he's been there, you know, more than just 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And then I found out, you know, the hotel right behind the practice facility. And sometimes Kobe would just spend the night in the hotel and just come on over early in the morning and, you know, get his work in. So I try to tell kids, you know, this guy right here who's on top of his game can have that type of work ethic, and they had practice at 11. They had practice after us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At 11. So if this guy can have that type of work ethic, why can't you? You know what I'm saying? So I do think he's the last of those type of guys. I think that, you know, I hear James Harden, some of the stuff that he talks, and he sounds like he could be one of those guys. He sounds like he could be. Just listening to him talk, I think Russell Westbrook is an old school guy, but he's got to be a little more professional to really be an old school guy. I think it all has to be in one package. You have to handle the
right.
press better than what he does. You know what I'm saying? I get it. You know, you don't like what somebody wrote about you. Okay, cool. Well, they say an opinion about you. You got a platform to say something about them, then. You know, say what you know. Say instead of not talking on next question, that type of mess. Just be professional so that it all comes, you know, it all comes together. But I think those are the last two guys. Those are two guys that are close to it, but none like Kobe, because I think Kobe he used to watch a lot of video and do all kinds of crazy stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I think he might be the last of the guys with that type of mentality.
You know, on Kerry Like You Law Line, the one only the champ, Chucky Brown, what I miss saying was back in the day when you played, there was always a guy that would say, you know what, I want him. And we knew
yep.
that they could play offense already, but I want him. And so
yep.
I remember, you know, for maybe three quarters, he didn't guard someone. But in the fourth quarter,
yep.
you could tell he was
yep.
like, give me him. Michael, give me him. Scotty, give me
yep.
him.
Yep.
I don't – as great as James is, I can't in my mind
right.
foresee him saying – give me Donovan Mitchell. He's what he scored 90. He's hot. Put me on him. I don't.
Right.
And I guess what I'm saying, the last one, I don't see that guy that offensively, you know, he's a but on defense saying, you know what? I'm going to be that same type of as well. Put me on your best.
Right.
Let me stop him. I don't see that
right.
no more. And you know
yeah.
what I mean? Or it seems like that part is gone now.
Yes, I totally agree. I think it's become a lot of, you know, because of this AAU stuff. But see, we had AAU, but it was like only one team in the state. You know what I'm saying? So it was a group of guys got, you know, a group of good players together and go play it. But it wasn't always the best players, because a lot of the best players, you know, we went to camp and played against each other, five star, prep star, DC All Star, Nike camp. So I think, you know, a lot of these guys get on the same teams during the summers and play together. So it's sort of like, you know, the buddy buddy ball, because it just seems like a big AAU tournament sometimes. You know, because the guys, you know, like each other, which is nothing wrong with liking someone, because There's a lot of guys that I like, but when I had to play against them, you know, that goes out the window. You know, we'll still have dinner later, but for now, I got to take care of the business. You know what I'm saying? I got to, you know, I'm trying to win too, so I'm not trying to give you anything, but it does seem like it's a lot of buddy-buddy ball going on out there as far as, like, you know, let me guard him, like, you know, that, and that could be your best friend. I can remember going at it, you know, during the summers, you know, with good friends. I remember, like, Lorenzo Charles was a guy who I used to love to play against, you know, coming back to NC State because, number one, he was tough, physical. He was playing over in Europe, but he's a tough, physical guy, and I thought that playing against him helped me. So, you know, I was like, let me guard low, you know. So I guard low all game. We beat each other up all game or all, you know, afternoon or whatever it is. And then afterwards, we'd be over at my house, you know, boiling crab legs, eating crab legs, talking junk about the game that was going on, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, times have changed, man. Times have really changed. And I don't think these kids go to the park and play anymore. I remember going to the park and playing and being a young kid, and the older guys used to punish me and you know, just take advantage of my youth. But then, you know, I didn't, like, run away. I came back for more. And then it got to the point where I became good enough where – they wouldn't play against me no more. They wanted me on their team. They argued about who team I'm going to be on. So, you know, they didn't want no parts of me. You know what I'm saying? So I think that part of it has gone, and hopefully somebody can bring that part back because the game really needs that.
I said this about Russell Westbrook. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA. And what he did 2 years ago, averaging a triple-double, when they had no talent left on that team, I thought was amazing. I don't believe in stat hunting all the time, and I don't believe he's a player that's stat hunting because you can't stat hunt into 3 years of a triple-double. But what I do believe he does is it's okay to be fueled by emotions, but I think at this point, he's being guided by emotion. And when you do that, he's no longer thinking the game through. It's Dame Lillard hit a three on me, well, I'm going to hit a three on him. But Russ, game shoots 40% from the line, you shoot 10. Do something different.
Right.
You don't have to match him. And at this point, I think that's actually making a worse basketball player, not skill-wise, but it's making him a worse player because he's hurting his team because he's letting emotions play the game for him.
Right.
I mean, is that where we're at with him right now?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that one thing, you know, Russ – you know, Dame Lillard gets 30, shooting 10, you know, 10 for 20 from the three-point line. You know, Russ shouldn't try to do the same thing. Russ's big thing is aggression in the open court. You know, he's a monster getting to the rack. Okay? Wide open three, drawing kicks. Somebody draw. Paul George drive to the lane. Russ's man come off, help. He kick it to Russ for a three. Okay, we take those kind of threes. You know, but the pull-up threes, that's not really his game. His game is aggression, getting to the rim. And he's athletic enough to be able to finish over any of the bigs that Portland has. So I do think he's got caught up into the game, and now they're in the 3-1 hole. So I think if he could get back to putting that pressure on Damian, and he's got a little size on Damian Lillard. You know, drive to the basket, use your body a little more. I mean, it takes a little more pounding. Your minutes going to have to cut down a little bit because it takes a little more energy, you know, but they got a good guy to spell him. What's the kid with the dye in the top of his head? Look like Kwame the Rapper. What's his name?
You know, you showed your age on that, and I did too, because I know exactly who you're talking about. Because my name is Kwame, ain't been around in a minute.
Right. What's the kid name? What's his name again? The guard for the other guard that backs him up. I can't think of his name, but he played for Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I can't think of his name. Yeah, but he is a good backup. He can give Russ some minutes. He can spell him some minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Dennis Schroeder.
Where he can go ahead and get out. What's his name?
Dennis Schroeder.
Schroeder, that's him. Schroeder, yeah. So Schroeder can actually spell Russ good minutes because Schroeder is a good player. So Russ can play that way and just, hey, you know, tap out for that minute, you know, get your energy back up, and then come back at him. When you got that type of pressure at a defense where you're constantly getting in their paint, you know, taking their paint, You know, that means something. Even Golden State, even, you know, they have nights where they're shooting the heck out of it, but when they're not shooting the heck out of it, they got to get that ball in that paint, and they do that. You know, they get it in the paint. So points in the paint is always big. I just started coaching at a high school, and I try to tell these kids, you know, points in the paint, that's where you want to go. That's like walking into a man's house, and he's sitting on the couch, and you just go in his refrigerator and take his last beer. You know, so that'll make you mad. You know what I'm saying? So that's how points in the paint. You just going in somehow just taking advantage of them. So, you know, I think if Russ gets back to that points in the paint, I think that Oklahoma City has a chance to stretch this thing to seven. You know, but if they're going to continue to try to shoot with Portland, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think this is over tonight. Dame Lillard is playing on a different level right now.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for Steph Curry, I really believe he'd be a first team all NBA. But you can't take Steph or James Harden off of that. So I think that's the only thing that's stopping him. But they're clicking and they're playing team ball, which is just a beautiful thing. But you're killing me with these sayings, because I still use lathered up. I still use that phrase about coming in. And I hit my son with the other day. I said, giving up the baseline is letting someone date your sister, man. Can't give up the baseline.
Right.
so yeah, those are all those phrases that we, you know, that we use growing up playing basketball. Obviously, I didn't play it at the level that you did, but yeah, I've had to run many laps for giving up a baseline. Many laps.
Right. I played for, you know, several different coaches, and some gave up the baseline, some gave up the middle, you know. So, I mean, it just all depends on the coach's philosophy. Now, if you're going to give up the baseline, you better have that rotation ready. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I played with coaches with different, you know, philosophies.
I'm gonna have to send you on a text you a video of my guy playing. He told me the other day, Chucky, I love his. My wife told me his name is Paul Jr. for a reason, because he's just like you. I said, you know, your best friend play on the team, but you play him in school every day. I said, do you guys get at it? He goes, there's nothing to get at. I kill him every time on the basketball court. I said, but you guys are teammates.
Right.
So yeah, we're teammates on our team, but when we play on the playground, I destroy him. I was like, wow.
That's
bro.
Right.
He's like,
right.
I'm looking at him, and I want to, like, laugh and pat him on the back all at the same time. He goes, Dad, I don't lose to anybody on purpose. So I didn't play in a sixth grader one-on-one. And the sixth grader was giving it to him. And I said, you ready? He goes, no, I'm not ready. I'm going to keep playing. Until you ready to leave? I'm going to keep playing. And I'm like, that's how you get better, man. You don't get better being up to your friend. Get better by playing
that's
that
right.
sixth grade. So I might have to send
you learn
out.
From your loss.
I might have to send him your way. You know?
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. He sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah, man. I love him. And he's playing my favorite sport, too. He's been working with, you know, Stephen Hunter? Used to play for the Suns, Chicago guy.
Stephen Hunter. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think he came in the league after I left. Yeah, I know.
He did. He's been working with him. So that's been helping him a lot, too. So, but last one about the Suns. You played for the Suns when they had good ownership. Do you think they can this will be the fifth coach in 5 years. If they land a Monty Williams, I'll say fine, cool. But at some point, it has to stop, right?
Yeah, it's going to have to stop, you know, but right now it's going to be a minute. You know, they have to thoroughly do their research on their coaches. And I agree with, you know, not, you know, they went with a new guy, but I didn't know if that was the right guy to begin with. I don't know the guy, but, you know, you have to go with somebody that these players are going to respect, you know, so I think you're not going to go with I'm going to call him a retread. You know, if you don't go with a retread, and you go with one of these new, young and upcoming coaches, it has to be a guy that they're going to respect that's been a, you know, been around a while. A guy that I like is Juwan Howard. I like him. I always liked him personally. I like the fact that he's been with a guy like Pat Riley. You know, Pat Riley, who's won everywhere he's been. You know, he's won. You know, he had the Knicks relevant. They didn't win a title, but they got there. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I don't think they got there. They had Chicago in the way. They got there with Van Gundy, I think. But you know, the Knicks were, you know, they were not a team that you would pass. They were winning. They got there with Pat. Okay, they lost. That's right. They lost to the Rockets. Yeah. So, yeah, he got them there, and he got them. They were on the brink of winning it and didn't win it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, a guy that studies under Pat Riley for as long as Juwan Howard has been there, I think Juwan Howard would be a guy that should be considered for a lot of these jobs that are opening. Also, another guy, my former teammate is Sam Cassell. I think if you're going to go with new guys, I think guys will respect Sam Cassell. I think guys will respect Juwan Howard. So these young players have got – you've got to have guys that they respect, you know, first of all. And I mean, no shot against Igor, but – you know, they didn't know who he was. I mean, what kind of videotape does he have that showed him out there doing what he's going to ask them to do? You know, Juwan Howard's got video. And I'm not saying that every player is built or every former player is built to coach. But the ones that are built to coach, we need to have them as head coaches. You know, and I think Juwan Howard and Stan Cassell are two of the guys that if these teams are serious about winning, those two guys should have some interviews coming up.
I'm with you. Hey, before the final start and after this draft lottery gets announced, I'm going to give you a call back, see if we catch up and predict the finals and kind of get a feel for once the Knicks win that lottery, we obviously know Zion's going there because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm a non-conspiracy theorist because the NBA is going to put a star in New York when it has a chance.
I'm telling you, man. You right there. You on it. You right on. You're right on.
Yep. Non-conspiracy theory. So we'll catch up and talk about that. And, yo, man, I appreciate you coming on, bro. I really do. And it's always good to talk to you.
Hey, man. Well, thanks for having me. You know, anytime we can do it, we're going to do it.
All right, then. Hey, I like I said, that's what about the way the NBA playoffs run now. Hell, I said the finals, we a month away, so I'll catch up with you in a month.
All right, man. Well, you take it easy.
All right, brother. I appreciate you now.
All right. Thank you, man.
All right. Talk to you soon. That's the one, only Bye-bye. The champ, Chucky Brown. Always good to catch up with him. This is the sixth year in a row. You know it's playoffs. You know it's the playoffs. Remember that we are watching the first round of the draft over at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Make sure you are there joining us for that. I was talking about this playoff or this football thing with Seattle and Frank Clark. And listen, people, come up with a new strategy. I'm going to have some people that are a lot smarter than I am about football come on and talk to us about that. Now it's time.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLO.
So the Suns fired Igor Kokoskov. Like I said to Chucky, if they get a Monty Williams, then I can understand it. But here's my question. As good as Monty Williams is, and I think he is, and I don't think he should have been fired from his last job, if you gave him this same roster that you gave Igor this year, the exact same roster, was Monty Williams 20 games better, 15 games better, 10 games better, 5 games better? No point guard. Devin Booker out for a while. Aiden out for a while. TJ Warren on his year-end sabbatical that he takes every year. Would this team be that much better? See, I think it becomes a point of, are we getting the right pieces to fit the system that we're going to run for the players that we have? And that's the only thing I can look at this point. Jeff Hornacek, Earl Watson, Jay Trevano, Igor Kokoskov. 5 years. When a quarterback has not been successful, and they've had three coaches and three coordinators, what do we say? Well, every year, 3 years, you're making him learn a new system. Your star player is now about to be on his fifth coach. Fifth coach. And I understand people saying, well, he needs to improve here, he needs to improve there, he needs to improve there. You need to put him in a position where something is consistent, where he can get better. Just knock this down to a basic level of having kids. If you have kids and there is no structure, and they're in school and they're in the fourth grade, and one night they go to bed at 6, the next night they go to bed at midnight, then they go to bed at 2 a.m., and then they do their homework maybe once this week and try to get it all done in one night or twice next week, and you feed them McDonald's for breakfast every day. And is there any structure? Will they actually really progress? But if you have a structure and you have a regimen that they can do every single day, they will naturally get better. As adults, we're the same way. And if the sons don't put in some type of structure, I don't care if Red Auerbach or Lenny Wilkins or Phil Jackson or whoever comes to coach this team, if there's no structure and the culture is constantly changing, they just don't have a shot to be successful. And that's really what it just boils down to. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you to the champ, Chucky Brown. Appreciate you joining us today. Like I said, we'll catch back up with them in about a month, right before the NBA final start. Make sure you follow us at the Sports Cave, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook fan page, sportscave.com. Remember, all caves are with the K. And you can get me on the Twitter directly at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, we'll be back. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe the Suns will fire. I don't know. Will the Nuggets win at home and go up 3-2? Will OKC live to fight another day? We'll find all that out tonight. We'll talk about all of it tomorrow. Right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you all for joining. Remember, get the replay at 3 o'clock on the Casual Sports Network. Casual with K. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.